Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
I think we better pray so we can turn our attention to the word and receive all that God has for us. Father, thank you for this year. God, thank you for the opportunity to gather, to hear your word, to let it speak into our world, to build us, change us, make us into everything, God, that you want us to be. Father, as we come to your word, we come with our minds giving full attention off of the busyness of life. We come with our hearts open to receive, and we say, God, speak to us, each of us. Let your Holy Spirit talk to us. Father, I just thank you for what you want to do and what you want to say. I know that I've written too many notes for the amount of time allotted, but then again, what else is new? So we just ask that you would bless what we do today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So I'm going to start in Daniel, in the series that we've titled 29-20. Don't shout it out, but does anybody know what 29-20 means? Anybody, you talk to people from the first service, that's who you are. Okay. All right, you don't. All right, well, for a fee, no, just kidding. You can pay me and I'll let you know. No, I will get to that. I will get to what that is all about. But we're starting off in Daniel chapter 5 in an interaction that happens with King Belshazzar. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Belshazzar. And so here's what it says about him. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles, and he drank wine with them. In other words, they were having a party. And while Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold, silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, his concubines, drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Okay, that's really just an Old Testament long way of saying sex, drugs, and rock and roll, okay? That's what was going on in this guy's life. But the rock and roll was gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appears and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. So get this, they're loaded, and then suddenly they see a hand writing on the wall. I mean, you know, so these guys are like, oh my gosh, this is what's in this cup. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale. He was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. Well, no kidding. I think ours would too if we saw that. By the way, Steven Spielberg, if you're watching, this would make a great movie. I just want to suggest you use the Bible for your movies. But at any rate, so here are these guys, and they're having this party, and then all of a sudden this hand like comes in and writes on the wall. And I don't know what that hand looked like. It you know, it might have looked like the hand from the Addams Family. I don't know. And millennials will have to Google that later. All of us who are older, we know exactly what I just said. But this hand shows up and scribbles on the wall. And of course, he decides, man, I'm going to have to figure this out. And so he gathers everybody he's connected to, tries to figure out what the words are, because the words were not in the language that he knew. And he can't seem to figure this all out. And then somebody pipes in and says, get this Daniel guy. He's kind of a God guy and he's smart and everything. Maybe he can help us. So they bring in Daniel in Daniel 5:25. And Daniel boldly reads out to the king, this is what it says. He says, this is the inscription that was written. Mean, Tekel, Parson. And here's what these words mean. And he begins to break it down to him. Mean, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. And then you'll notice it says it twice. It's kind of like when your mom told you to clean up your room and then she told you a second time. And you know what that meant? That meant that she actually meant what she said, right? That was the only reason, you know, your parents weren't senile. They weren't like, I forgot I told you this. They told you it twice because why? Because they meant it. And that's what God does here. He says, I'm telling you this, your days are numbered. I'm bringing your reign to an end. You've pushed it too far. It's crazy. It's out of control. You're now actually taking items from the temple, from a place of worship, and using them for parties. Tekel's is the next word. He says, you've been weighed on the scales and found wanting. That is, there's something missing in your world. And then he goes on, Paris, he says, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. In other words, you're no longer able to have control of this. It's just been let go. God pronounced to this king, your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. And of course, there was a particular application that he was making to it. And that is, he was saying, what you're doing is evil. What you're doing is wrong. This is not good for the people that are subject to you as a king. Your kingship days are numbered. This has got to come to an end. This isn't going on forever. Don't pretend that it is. And as a matter of fact, when it comes to this particular passage, we actually, in our society, still refer to this passage. You know that? We still refer to it. We have a different language. We say this expression. It goes like this. The writing is on the wall. Ever heard that before? Ever heard somebody say that? Just talking about maybe something that goes on. Sometimes we can use it like this, where it's meant like imminent doom. It's like, man, you're screwing up so bad. The writing is on the wall. You know, we can see that sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's just like stuff's going on in somebody's life, and there's just a real clarity about where this is going. And so we'll say, hey, the writing's on the wall. But that expression, you know, has still lived on even from those years and is still gets used from time to time today. The writing is on the wall. In other words, it's really obvious where things are going if you don't change in your situation. Tomorrow's outcome can be clearly seen by the choices that you're making today. It's really what that's about. Well, think about the first part of this writing, this word mean. The word mean literally means numbered, numbered. And so he's telling this king, listen, your days, they're numbered, they're numbered. And of course, the application was, you're evil, this is gonna come to an end. But you know, you think about it, think about that statement, your days are numbered. You know, the truth of the matter is that my days are numbered and your days are numbered. It's not just about that one situation. The fact of the matter is that in your life, your days are numbered. And in my life, my days are numbered. So we can dismiss now and go home depressed if you'd like, but I do have a little more to say that'll help you with that. But really, it is the reality of our life, isn't it? Our days are numbered. Psalms 90 in verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, David wrote, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. In other words, just because your days are numbered doesn't mean that you've numbered your days. And since your days are numbered, you actually should number your days. Some of you are just looking dazed because I'm talking about this, but here's what it means. To number your days is to put an importance and to recognize this doesn't go on forever. This has a start and this has an end, that this doesn't just sort of go on forever. I need to number my days. Why? Because my days are numbered. My days are numbered. Psalms 90 in verse 10 says this. It says, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and fly away. David's saying, listen, you're gonna live to about 70 or maybe 80. And obviously it's a generalization, but he's giving us a rough estimate. And he says, you know, it just seems to go by so fast. Seems to go by so fast. Well, 80 years is actually, when you include leap years, 29,220 days. That's what that's all about. Number your days. Because your days are numbered. So God says you have roughly 29,220 days to live out your life. Your days are numbered. But to number our days is about stewardship. It's about making the most of what you have. It's about recognizing that life is brief, But eternity is a really, really long time. In fact, Woody Allen said, eternity is a really long time, especially the last part. Some of you are just choking on that one, I can tell you. The last part. I don't want the last part. Eternity is a long time. And when you consider eternity, our life is really short, isn't it? It's just brief. The Bible says it's almost like a flower or a blade of grass. It just kind of grows up. It's there for a moment and it's over. So he says, because your life is what it is, number your days, number your days. Think about that. Think about numbering your days. Think about if you've ever gone for a vacation where you're going to go somewhere, you know, and spend 10 days, maybe you're going to go to Saskatchewan. Thankfully, I'm not even going to go there with this illustration. I think we can do better than that. Yes, thank you. It was easy to get an amen on that, wasn't it? How about we go to Maui? Ushers are turning up the heat as I speak. It's bringing the vibe. Imagine you show up in Maui and you got 10 days. You know, day one, you're just coming off of, man, it's been really busy season of life, and it's just nice to get somewhere and, you know, not have to be somewhere, answer a phone, be at an office, you know, the appointment, you know, the usual things of life. You're just chilling. Day two, you're pretty much the same. You're just like, wow, so great just to be in this climate. We left minus, you know, 32 back in Canada, and here we are in Maui, and it's just awesome. Some of you are Googling Expedia right now as I speak, but the point is, you know, day two, you're just so chill, you're so enjoying. But you know, about day seven, everything changes, doesn't it? Because here's the way the conversation goes. Day seven, we only have 3 more days. What are we going to do? And all of a sudden, you're on like day seven. You've only got 3 more days. And what do? You start planning every hour of every day. You know, what everything that you haven't done that you want to do. And you map it all out. And here's where we're going. Here's when we're going to eat. Here's where we're going to eat. Here's what we're going to see. You know, here's the sites we want to go back to. I mean, you get so intentional when you realize what? That your days are numbered. Yeah. Well, that's really what God's saying about your life. Why don't you number your days? Why don't you treat your life with just a level of purpose and intentionality and realizing my days are numbered? I need to number my days. I need to be super intentional about my life and how I spend my life. By the way, the most effective day of your entire year is the day before you went on that vacation. I mean, you are an animal at getting everything done. It is amazing what gets accomplished on that day before you go on vacation. But to number your days. To number your days and just be intentional about planning and scheduling and evaluating, and you know, you're intentional about your purpose and what gets done and what's important all of a sudden and what's not so important. All of that happens when you number your days. It becomes so productive for you. What if that was your whole life? What if you numbered your days? Because you see, if you don't number your days, the writing is on the wall. If you don't number your days, the writing is on the wall. That is, if you don't get intentional about what needs to change in your life and the choices that are important to your world right now, well, the writing is on the wall. You see, to number our days is not just about a schedule. It's not just about a calendar. It's not just about appointments or time blocking or all of those things. It's about addressing the things in our life that are impacting our daily life. The things in our life that are impacting our days today, the things that eat at our time, the things that waste our time, the things that don't make the most of our time. It's about when we number our days, we are dealing with those things that are having an implication into our future. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 28, speaking about Israel, says, "For they are a nation lacking counsel. There's no understanding in them. Would that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would discern their future." That they would discern their future. God's saying, I wish they would think about their future because it would impact their choices that they're making today. I wish they would think about their future because it would impact the way that they would manage their day, their today. And they weren't numbering their days. They weren't being intentional with their life. They weren't thinking about, where is this taking me? Where is this leading me? Where is this going to end up? You know, everybody would like 2018 to be a better year than 2017. In some dimension of life. I'm sure if we went around the room and interviewed everybody, we'd all have something to say about 2017 that could improve in 2018, that we'd really like to see be different. We'd all want some advancement, some improvement, some change. We have some area where it's like, man, I'd really like to do better at this. But you know, just like King Belshazzar in the book of Daniel, if certain things in our life don't change, then the writing is on the wall. 2018, we can map it out. We can tell you what it'll look like right now if certain things don't change. And so I just want to take these next few minutes with you and talk to you about 10 things that I've listed. You might come up with more where we have to address these in our life, because if we don't, well, the writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall. Let's have a look at these. First of all, the writing is on the wall if we have good intentions but no concrete actions. Good intentions, but no concrete actions. Boy, this is really a season of good intentions, isn't it? January is a season of good intentions. I mean, people all across our country will be pulling out a piece of paper or a computer, what have you, and starting to write out all of their New Year's resolutions. Some of us were really brilliant. We'll just look up last year's and change the date at the top. It's easier that way. But really, it is a season of good intentions where we begin to look at our life and think, man, I'd love to see this change, and I'd love to see this improve. I'd love to add this to my life. You know, I've noticed something in somebody else's world that I'd really like to see in my world. And we just start to put all these things together. You know, for believers, a lot of times they'll put it together as a prayer list. This is what I'm praying for and believing God for. Maybe even throw some scriptures, you know, attached to each of those things. You know, I'm praying for this, and here's a promise from God that says it can come to pass and all the rest of it. But you know, the scripture says in James that faith without works is dead. Yeah. Is dead. In other words, just to have good intentions without any plan of action is pretty much dead. That's what the scripture is saying. It's a vision without a plan. It's just a dead dream. And so it's great that you have vision. It's great that you have desire and intentions and all the rest, but you can't stop there. Don't just make an intentions list, make an actions list. Yeah. Don't just come up with, this is what we'd love to see happen. And, you know, over a cup of coffee, you know, talking to your friends and being excited about what you want to see happen in your life. That's all good. But don't stop there. Move on to making an action list. What exactly are you going to do to make it happen? What are you going to put your hands to? What's the actions going to be? Oh, no, the Lord is just going to take care of it. No, he's not. He's not going to take care of you. He's not going to do anything. He's waiting for you to move. He's waiting for you to put action to your intentions. And then he'll step in with some miracles along the way. But you have got to come up with not just a good intentions list. You've got to come up with a what am I going to do about it program for your life. Put concrete actions in your life. If it's just good intentions, the writing is on the wall. Here's the second one. Continually claiming to be a victim in your life. If you're continually claiming to be a victim in your life, the writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall. If you're that person who looks at your life and, you know, people question, why don't you do this? Why don't you? Oh, well, you know, my circumstance. Well, you know, my friends, you know, I went through this situation. You know, this happened to me, that happened to me. This is what happened to me at work. This is what happened with my ex. This is what happened with my next. I mean, you can go on with a big list of all these things. And if your response about the things that are not doing well in your life is always to come up with a victim statement that is used, and we don't call it that, of course. It's just our way of finding excuses to say, hey, it's not my fault that I got here. Well, you know, that might actually be true. It might not be your fault, but when you claim to be a victim, here's what you do. You give the power to change that thing in your life over to somebody else. You give the power to change your life over to your circumstance and over to your situation when God says right in his word that he gave you the power over your life. So why would you give it up to something else? Yeah. You see, you can be going through life and say, man, this happened to me. I was a victim. It was not my choice, somebody else's choice. I didn't ask for this circumstance. It just fell into my life. But you are still the owner of your life. You are still in charge. And even though you can be in a place that's because of somebody else's choices, you can still make choices today to say, well, this is what got me here. But that doesn't mean I have to stay here. That doesn't mean I have to leave it like this. That doesn't mean it has to stay this way. I can be intentional. I can decide, instead of claiming victim, I'm going to claim victory. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to work towards a bigger goal and a change in my life. If you continue to claim to be the victim in your life, the writing is on the wall. Here's the next one. If you don't have a budget, the writing is on the wall. See, it goes like this. If you're not counting, you're not controlling. That's how this thing works. Oh, Pastor, I don't need a budget because I don't have any money anyway. Face palm. You know, a number of years ago, we did a finance series. And I put out a challenge in the series, and I said, you know, if you've never done this before, you don't have a budget, that's just not been a part of your world, and especially if you're that person who thinks you don't have any money, I said, I want you to take the next month and write down where every dollar went. Yeah. Income, expenses. Yep. Tally it all up. Have a look at it. Evaluate it. I had a lady in our church come to me who was one of those I don't have any money people. And she said, you know what? I did what you told me to do. I said, good. That was a good start. I discovered I actually have $600 extra every month. It's just been going to eating out and movies. Wow. If you're not counting, you're not controlling. It's not a moment, by the way. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. I'm still doing it. Today, my wife and I still do it today. We're well off. We're doing well in life. We're good. You know, it's all good. But we just recognize the power of being a good steward and being able to plan and being able to be intentional. You know, with goals and things in our life. So I've already spent in January at least 2, maybe even 3 hours just working on budget. Just working on that, just clarifying that. Why? Because I still have goals, including giving goals. Mm-hmm. And if I will count it, I can control it. Okay, next one. So don't have a budget, writing's on the wall. If you don't plan your time, the writing is on the wall. Listen, you've got 60 minutes in the next hour. You've got 24 hours in the next day. You've got 7 days in the next week. You've got, you know, 12 months that are going to go into this year. Everybody here gets the same amount of time, but not everybody uses it as effectively, and we'll probably talk a lot more about that, you know, later on, but I'm just bringing it up to say this, that just because we all have the same amount of time only means this one thing. We're all going to spend it. All of us. The question is, will it be spent the way that it needs to be in your world? Or will it be spent in a way that it's like, well, I wasn't planning anything, so by default, this is where it went. Rather than by design and by intentionality. If you don't plan your time, the writing is on the wall. Here's another one. If you're unteachable, the writing is on the wall. If you're that person who somebody tries to speak into your world, you're defensive, you're the know-it-all, or you're kind of stubborn, If you're that kind of person, I'm telling you, the writing is on the wall. If you can't hear from people in your world, if people who you know love you or close to you, might be married to you, hello, and they're trying to speak into your world, but you're defensive and argumentative and you give pushback all the time, or you're stubborn about change, I'm telling you, the writing is on the wall. You won't change. You see, being a student is not a season in life. It's an attitude of life. Being willing to learn from others, being willing to receive from others. It's just having that attitude of being a continual learner because you're willing to listen to people who care about you and what they're saying into your life so that you don't live a life in 2018 where you just repeat the mistakes of 2017 unnecessarily. Yep. Come on. Worst thing that could ever happen is for us to have repeat years of the same problems when we had people in our world that were warning us, that were throwing the flag down on the play and saying, hold it, something's got to change. But we were unteachable. Here's another one. Character flaws that are unaddressed or ignored. If we don't deal with it, the writing is on the wall. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm killing it in my business. You might be killing it in your business, but what you don't address in your character can kill your business. Yep. Oh, my family is fun. It's awesome. What you don't deal with in your character will eventually hit and impact that area of your life. Your character is not like independent of everything else that you do. It's you. It's you, it's in the middle of your world, and your character is either a pillar that you're building on or it's the weakest link in the chain of your life. It's the weakest link. And if you have somebody in your world called your wife or your husband who is bringing things up to you, that is a gift from God. That is not the devil. Just to clarify. Don't see that as moving right along. If you are going to continue to be resentful and bitter about your past, the writing is on the wall. Your life isn't going to have the joy that it should. You're not going to function to your best potential. You're going to be that person who from time to time gets in a conversation and that circumstance gets brought up, that person's name comes up, and now the tone of the conversation changes and something begins to boil inside of you and even some words come out where you're like, oops, I didn't mean to say that. No, you didn't mean to, but it was in here. That's why it came out. And if you don't deal with that and you allow bitterness and you allow resentment and you have people in your world that you still haven't forgiven, they are still tied to your future and the writing is on the wall. But you have an opportunity to be able to do what? Number your days and decide that today is the day where we end this in our life. Today is the day where I forgive so that I can have a different future. I'm not sticking with this. I'm not going into 2018 carrying some bitterness from 2017. Come on, I'm not going into a new year carrying the baggage from the old year. I'm not trying to go forward with my life while I'm constantly having a negative conversation in my head about some things out of my past. But instead, I've numbered my, hey, listen, I don't want to get to the end of 2018, look back and be able to count hours or maybe even days of time that got spent rehearsing, regurgitating, rethinking, reviewing some ugly situation that I was supposed to release way back when. Being able to say, I'm numbering my days, this takes no more time from my life. This goes off the shelf. This is done. I don't want to go forward in my world continuing to waste my time over something that all I had to do was forgive it, let it go, and I could live in the freedom of embracing today instead of carrying what happened in my yesterday and keeping it alive in my tomorrow. Amen. Here's another one. If you're still concerned about pleasing everybody in your life, the writing is on the wall. If you're that person who's still driven by, I'm just trying to keep everybody happy, you are the most stressed out individual. Or you sell ice cream for a living. That would be the other possible good side of this. Maybe you sell ice cream. I just want to keep everybody happy. We have 32 flavors now. But make a decision that there's really one person you have to keep happy. It's Jesus. That you can make godly choices with your life. And yes, not everybody's going to be happy with your choices. Not everybody's going to be happy with your decisions, but you know it's God's best for you. And it's okay if they're not okay. Oh, that'll preach. Come on. It's okay if they're not okay. Like, you got to embrace that. If you don't, the writing is on the wall. You will not go to your greatest potential. You will not have the greatest experience of joy and abundant life that Jesus talks about. Why? Because you'll be so stressed out about who's upset with you and trying to resolve that, trying to help that, trying to, you know, coach and coddle that. Listen, let it go. It's okay if somebody's not okay when you're doing what you know you need to be doing. Here's another one. If there's no clear vision for your life, the writing is on the wall. If you're going into this new year and you're like, man, I just don't know what I'm doing with my life. I just, you know, I haven't really figured it out yet. That might be okay if you're like 13. In fact, there's probably a lot of 13-year-olds that got more vision than 31-year-olds. But we won't go there. We just did. If you're like struggling with that, then this week's a great opportunity for you. Just to say, God, that's enough. Yeah. I'm numbering my days. I'm going to get with you this week. I'm going to have a journal and a pen. I'm going to write down some goals. I'm going to write down some vision. I'm going to lay out some things, what I need to do next with my life. I am not going to have just a repeat of the last 3 years of my life. I'm going to see an advancement happen in my world. Listen, this is the way we do church. We don't go into the new year going, well, we'll just whatever the Lord. You know, we seek God and he puts stuff in our heart and then we decide that must be what he wants us to do. And then it's like, boom, here we go. And so we're going into this new year, and this isn't like news because we've announced it already. We're believing to start a new location this year. Well, that's clear vision, clear vision. Here we go. Here's one more. And I already told you I wasn't going to do the whole message. Don't stress out. It's only the first Sunday. I can do it again 51 more times. Here we go. If you're not intentional about your inner circle of relationships, the writing is on the wall. I'm telling you, this is so, so important for our lives. And we can dismiss it a little bit and go, oh yeah, talk to my teenage daughter, talk to my teenage son. Well, that's true. And I think that's one of the most glaringly obvious examples when we watch kids that are great kids with great parents hang around the wrong group. And it's like they've got an anchor tied to them. They should be really shooting up and doing great and going on and seeing good things happen in their world. But this group keeps, you know, because they're tied to it, they want to keep them happy because they call them their friends, pulls them back. You know, it's like trying to plant, you know, a tulip, you know, in a ground full of rocks and garbage. And it's just like, this isn't working. And instead it's got to be planted in the right place. It's got to be put in the right culture. And this is the way it is with our lives, but don't dismiss this. Don't dismiss this as being a adolescent issue. There are plenty of adults who are struggling in their walk with God because they're staying tied to some folks that are not encouraging what needs to be happening, and if anything, are pulling them back into some old habits. Come on, pulling them back into some old ways. And so there's gotta be decisions made in our life to say, here's who gets close. We love everybody, but here's who gets close in our world. Here's who really knows the deal of what's going on in my life. Here's who I open my heart up to. Here's who I trust the most. Those inner circle people need to happen by design, not default. They need to be intentional. Let me spin it in a positive way. Maybe you're a person who has vision. You're a person who knows where you want to go in life. You're a person who says, man, I want to do well. I want to do well in my walk with God. I want to do well in my business. I want to do well in my family. Then what you need to do is get connected, maybe through a connect group, to people who are of like vision, and you can see it in their life. It's like, man, they're 3, 4, 5 steps ahead of you, and they're exactly where you want to go. Let me tell you something. That's the circle that needs to be closest to you. Those are the people where you need to go. I'm going to intentionally build friendship with that person, with that couple, with that family. Why? Because I want my life to go where I see them going. And if you do that, if you build the right relationships, I got good news for you. The writing is on the wall. Come on. Your future is written by the friends that you embrace into your world. Let's stand as we take time to pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, we just thank you so much that Lord, that you have given us this life. And now, God, you've also given us the ability to number our days, to be so intentional about our lives and about where we're going, what we're building, what we're accomplishing. And Father, I pray as we enter into this new year, that by your Holy Spirit, you would guide us. That by your word, you direct us. The Father, that we wouldn't just have vain imagination about what it is that we're going into, what it is we're building in our life, but that we'd really have God-directed thoughts as we do that. With our heads bowed, I want to pray one more prayer for people who need to number their days when it comes to their walk with God. That maybe you're a person who's been kind of on the fringe with Jesus, kind of into Christianity, but not fully, you know, kind of receive Christ, but you don't really let him lead your life the way you know you should. And I just want to encourage you, would you number your days? Would you just make a decision that today this stops? Today we go full throttle. Today we go all out. Today we go total commitment. Today we go absolute surrender to follow Jesus. Today we stop making excuses. Today, we stop claiming that we're a victim of circumstances that keep us from the fullness of what God wants. No, today we say Jesus is Lord. Today we say I'm following him with all my heart. Today I end all the wishy-washy so that I can really go with what God has for my life, so that I can follow him, know him, and fulfill the purposes of God in my generation. And if that's where you're at, if you're ready to number your days when it comes with Jesus and make this the start of a wholehearted relationship with God, then I want to pray with you right where you're standing. I'm just going to invite us all to bow our heads. How many here, just give me a wave, would say, Pastor, you know what? Include me in that prayer. I want to number my days. I want to follow Jesus with all my heart starting today. Just to give me a wave. So that's me. That's what I'm doing. That's where I'm at. That's what's going on. Awesome. Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody saying, man, today I need to do this full on, no more holding back, no more half in. Awesome. It's not about just church. We can do church and not do Jesus. You know that, don't you? It's about Jesus. It's about where our heart is at. Okay, we're going to pray with all those who raise their hands. Everybody, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you. You gave your all, your whole life, to die on a cross to redeem me. I ask you to forgive my past. And now I'm making a decision to give my all, 100% committed to following you. I receive you as my Savior and the Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you with all of my heart, starting now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a hand.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.